Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. Aren't you so glad for victory in Jesus today? Amen. I love our modern worship songs and some of our CCM worship songs. And I love how they actually connect with some songs that we were taught when you were a little boy and little girl in church. It's one old song that says, I heard an old story about the Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. Y'all heard that? And the chorus goes, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me, help me please, and bought me with his redeeming blood. Come on, he loved me, I knew him, and all my love is due. Come on, he plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. One more time, oh victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me. The blood today. That's what that song anthem says. You have won the victory. Amen. Death could not hold you down. You are the risen King, seated in majesty. And listen, because he lives, hallelujah, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because he lives, guess what? Because he rose, one day I will rise too. Aren't you glad about that? Because he was victorious, now I have victory. You are more, the Bible says in Romans, that you are more than a conqueror through him who loved you. I'm so glad for what Jesus has done and for the victory that he's wrought for me, that he's given us victory over sin, the victory over the grave, the power, the penalty, and the very presence of sin. We are victors, amen? Amen. Well, let me do this. Welcome to Encounter Life this morning, amen? If you're a guest here at Encounter Life, if you're online, we welcome you. For those of you in the building, we welcome you. We're so glad you came to worship with us this morning. I just want to thank our praise team, the worship ministry, our musicians for just setting the atmosphere this morning. He's a great God. He's a great God, and he's deserving of great praise today. Amen? Amen. We're excited today. Anybody, how y'all been doing? Y'all know why I'm asking that. If you don't know why I'm asking, we started 21 days of prayer and fasting. Amen. We are finishing week two. We coming on week three. This will be your week three, 21 days. Amen. Has God been revealing some stuff to you during this time? Amen. Has he been doing some stuff? Has he been showing you? I told you that we fast. You put away something natural to achieve something supernatural. Fasting has the ability to reveal what has a hold on you. Has God revealed some things that have a hold on you? I was talking to Brother Al a couple of weeks ago, and one of the things Al was sharing, I know he won't mind me saying this, he said, look, one of the things I'm fasting from is social media. He said, like, the day after the fast started, the day after, he had already gone into his social media feed before he even thought about, oh, snap, I'm not even supposed to be on this. I said, it shows what's got a hold on you, amen? And for some of us, it's our food, it's the plate. But I put it out this week to some people in my small group, listen, whenever you hunger, God just, and it took that first week sometime to get your feet wet and get the ground running. But that second week, I don't know about you, but for me, that second week, you know, I was hungry sometimes physically, but what God began to do instill in me, a hunger of more of you. God, just like I told my family and my kids, whenever you feel yourself getting hungry, and I said this to our small group, when we feel that hunger, let it focus. Turn our focus from our physical hunger to a focus of saying, God, I want to, just like I'm hungry for this food, I want more of your presence like that. And let it drive us more into his presence. I'm thanking God for what it's doing, what it's shaking up in my life, in my house, in our family, Because again, if God wants to take you to another level, if he wants to take us to another level, we got to put aside this flesh. Amen? So I'm looking forward to hearing some testimonies and giving up some of you maybe next week to share some testimonies of some things God has revealed during this time, this season of prayer and fasting. Amen. Last week we had an amazing guest. I thank God for Pastor Larry Page. How many of y'all were blessed by that word? Unscripted dreams. I hope this week you went home and threw out your script in exchange for God's scriptures. And begin to say, God, I'm gonna put away all my plans, and I'm gonna take in what you had planned for my life. Last week was an amazing word, and we pray that you were blessed by that word. Amen. And today we are continuing and getting ready to round up our 21 days of prayer and fasting. This is we going into week 3. We talked about fasting, we talked about prayer, but today we're going to talk about something that's critical to this 21 days of prayer fasting. And look, if you want to go long, if you want to take it to 30 days, God bless you. Amen. If there's some stuff God still need to shake off, keep on. Keep on pressing. Amen. I encourage you to do that. Just be hungry for more of him. It ain't about the days and the time. It's about God accomplishing what he wants to accomplish in your life. Amen. And one of the things that's critical for that, to him to accomplish stuff in our lives, I know in my life, is one of the topics that we're going to talk about today. Remember, when we had our acronym, we talked about the acronym PRAY. We start with prayer. When we pray, we start with praise and thanksgiving. But before we get to asking, there's a letter in between the P and the A, which is the letter R, which is repentance. And today we're coming from a topic, this message topic is called Get Back Right. Because a lot of times what God is doing in this season of prayer and fasting, what God wants to do is for some of us and all of us really to get back right. In order for God to do things in our life, sometimes there's things in our lives, I was sharing with this when we talked about the children of Israel, there are things in our lives that are holding us back from being and doing all God wants us to do. And God is calling for us to repent. And in the Bible, when you look at the children of Israel, when there was ever a time of needed repentance, a lot of times fasting accompanied that. They needed to pull back the plate and have a time of fasting and in repentance so that they can hear from God and see what God wanted them to do. And today we're going to look at the topic of repentance, how to get back right. What is repentance? If we're going to be praying and asking God for stuff, we need to make sure that we've gotten ourselves right with God. Amen, and maybe with some other people. And we're going to look at this topic of repentance by looking. I love the Bible because the Bible is full of everyday people. And I don't know, sometimes when you're growing up, you read the Bible and you look at all these people and you think of them as superheroes. But they were people with feet of clay just like you and me. And they went through stuff, they go through stuff just like you and me. And it gives you hope that if God can use them, then he got a plan for you and he can use you as well. Amen. And today we're going to look at somebody that is a hero in Scripture, an amazing man in Scripture, and we're going to look in Psalm chapter 51, but I'm also going to have you put your finger in also in 2 Samuel chapter 11, and we're going to look at a man that many of you may be familiar with, some of you may not be, and it's a man by the name of King David in Psalm chapter 51. And this is, Psalm 51 is one of the penitential psalms where David is confessing and repenting of some stuff in his life. And today we're going to look at the pattern that David took on how we can get back right when we've fallen. How you can get back right when you've blown it and still have God to continue to use you. As we're in this time of prayer and fasting, I pray that as you are pushing back the plate, God reveals some stuff in your life, some sin in your life that he wants to fix, and that you do not hold on to it, that you say, God, yes to your will and to your way. Amen? Can you pray with me this morning? Dear God, Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you. We thank you, Lord God, for being a gracious and merciful God. A God who's full of, who is rich in love and forgiveness, God. And I pray today as we are in this time of prayer and fasting, God, that as we are pushing back the natural to attain the supernatural, Lord, if there are some areas in our life that are not like you that you want to deal with, Lord, help reveal those. Reveal them, and then when you reveal them, Lord, help us to say yes, Lord, to your will and to your way, and watch you do great things in our life. We thank you for being gracious, for being merciful and long-suffering with us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you could look in your Bible to Psalm chapter 51, I'm going to read maybe the first 13 to 17 verses, and then we're going to get into it for this morning. It says, "Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love. Because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt, purify me from my sin, for I recognize my rebellion, it haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. For I was born a sinner, yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. But you desire honesty from the womb, teaching me wisdom even there. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. Oh, you who have broken me, now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt." I love this verse here. "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me, or a right spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. Then I will teach your ways to rebels, and they will return to you." Amen. May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. This morning, this is King David writing this psalm, and it's interesting, when King David wrote this psalm, he wrote this psalm right around what was happening in 2 Samuel chapter 11. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, if you're not aware of what happened, some of you may be familiar, but some of you who are not, King David got in trouble with a woman by the name of Bathsheba. David and Bathsheba. Are you familiar with the story, David and Bathsheba? If you're not familiar with the story, just to give you a little background, David was the king of Israel. He was the king, and he was ruling. And it was in the spring season, if you look in 2 Samuel chapter 11, the Bible says it was in the spring, the season when kings go off to war. And when they were fighting the Ammonites, King David, the Bible said the kings go off to war. But during this time, David chose to do something different. He chose not to go off to war. He chose to stay at home at the palace. And while he was at home at the palace, he got in trouble because he was out on the rooftop just relaxing. And as he was on the rooftop, he looked across and he saw a woman that was of great beauty, that the word says. And he saw this woman of great beauty, and because he was the king and he could have anything he wanted, he asked for her, and guess what? He got her. And she came to his house, and when she came to his house, you know what happened after that. We don't have to give you all the details. David slept with Bathsheba, and David slept with Bathsheba, but not only was she a beautiful woman, but she was also a what? Married woman. This is the thing about David. The Bible is the amazing thing. The Bible calls David a man after God's own heart. David, listen, got involved with this woman. Bathsheba was a beautiful woman, but was a married woman. But not only was she a married woman, her husband was one of David's soldiers. So her husband worked for David. And so David said, listen, I'm going to sleep with this woman. I'm sending her back home. But it didn't stop there. How many know that sin will keep you longer than you want to stay, take you farther than you want to go, and keep and make you pay more than you wanted to pay? It didn't stop there. It was only a moment of pleasure, but that moment of pleasure just killed it for a whole lifetime, because Bathsheba called David and said, David, listen, I missed. We got a problem. I'm late. What do you mean? I'm getting ready to have your baby. David had a problem. David said, listen, only for a moment of pleasure. Now this woman, Bathsheba, is pregnant. I got to do something, because her husband is one of my mighty men. He's one of my soldiers. David is the king, but I just take it Uriah was probably a bad boy. And David didn't want to have to deal with that when he got back home. So David said, I got to figure out how to fix this. I got to figure out how I can hide this. And he tried to hide it. And what David did, he called Bathsheba's husband back home, and he tried to get her husband Uriah to sleep with Bathsheba, but her husband was more noble than even the king. The one who was the king, her husband was more noble, because her husband said, listen, King David, I cannot in good conscience come home for R&R when Joab and all of my buddies, all of my fellow soldiers are out fighting. I can't go home and be resting, so I'd rather sleep with the palace guard than go home to be with my wife. He slept with the palace guard. David tried it a second time. He tried to get him drunk. He said, no, he got drunk. He did drink, but he went back and slept with the palace guard again. Finally, David said, he's not going to do it. So what David did, the unthinkable. David wrote a note to the commanding officer, and he gave it to Uriah. How ruthless is that? He wrote a note, and for those of you who don't know what the scripture says, what this passage says, that's okay, I want to let you know what he did. David wrote a note to the commanding officer, who was the general named Joab. He said, I want you to put Uriah on the very front line. And when you put him on the front line, when the battle gets heavy, pull all the soldiers back so he's out there by himself. So that he'll die, get killed. And not only did he write that letter to the commanding officer, guess who he sent the letter with? He sent the letter with Uriah, the man he getting ready to kill. He gave him his own death warrant and told him to take it back. And he took it back to Joab, this loyal man, and he went back to the battlefield. And what happened? The soldiers peeled back. Uriah died, and they sent word to David, and David said, cool, now it's all good. What David did now, the man is dead. Now he calls Bathsheba, and he brings her in to his harem. Makes her his wife, kills her husband. She's bearing his child. He makes her his wife. All of this is happening. David does all this, and he's moving forward. He's getting ready to have a new family. And then that's what happens in chapter 11. And I love it. At the very end of chapter 11, David was moving and moving and doing what he was doing. And it says, 2 Samuel 11:27, last verse says, the Lord was very displeased with what David had done. David had gotten so numb to what he was doing, he wasn't even paying attention. But how many know, I heard one pastor say, listen, God sees it all. The God who sees in secret, he sees in secret. Everything the Bible said is open and laid bare before him. Listen, we got to understand, even what we try to hide, God sees it, and he can cause it to be uncovered. And so what God did, he used somebody, a prophet by the name of Nathan. He caused Nathan to be an accountability partner for David. David was continuing to do what he was doing, and Nathan had to come and say, look, David, you got a problem. You've been messed up. And when David acknowledged and heard it, sometimes God brings people, Nathans in our life. I pray you have a Nathan in your life. Because all of us have, listen, all of us, this is the beautiful thing about the scriptures I love about it. All of us, we can look at David as ruthless, but God still calls him a man after his own heart. You know what that says? There's hope for us. There's hope for us, because I don't think anybody here has ever done that. Never put a hit out on anybody and took the wife and all that. I don't think, all of us have done some terrible things. But that right there, which tells me God said, I can still use you no matter how far you've fallen. His grace and his mercy. I praise God for his compassion and his love that extends to you. David blew it. He dropped the ball, and God brought a man in his life that said, David, you messed up. Now you got to get right. You got to deal with the consequences. I thank God for Nathans. I pray you have a Nathan in your life. Somebody who will call, listen, when they see the wrong, that they will call it out in your life. Because David would have kept going and going and going unless there was a Nathan to call it to his attention. And somebody said, as I was thinking about it, I said, Lord, well, was David really sorry? Because he kept going and he didn't repent until Nathan said anything. But how many of us all have got stuff in our life that we've been doing that you didn't gotten used to? And you used to feel bad about it. You used to feel real bad about it. And you kind of, that still small voice would kind of talk to you. And you shut that still small voice. And you shut that still small voice off long enough. Or you put stuff in your life to quiet that still small voice to make you get used to it. And then one day God brings somebody in your life to boom. And you say, man, I got to make a change. God did that with Nathan. And David began to repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry. And that is where we are right here in Psalm chapter 51. David, listen, Nathan had pulled his card and said, you got to get this right. And now David is falling on his face, and he's taking the steps to get back right. Somebody say, get back right. Today, if you've fallen, if you messed up, if you sinned, today is the day of repentance. To repent means to change your mind. and to change our direction. Today, whatever you've done, you can get back right. Aren't you glad about that this morning? That's because of what we said, victory in Jesus, my Savior. Because what Christ has done, you can get back right. And today, if you want God to do something in your life, you want God to answer prayer, look, if you regard iniquity in your heart, God won't hear you. If there's some area in your life during this 21 days of prayer and fasting that God's shining light, you need to change, you need to get back right. But what are the steps to get back right? There's three steps I'm going to give you this morning right here in our passage in Psalm 51. The first thing that you got to do, number one, you got to admit that I've fallen. I got to admit that I've fallen. Look at verse 1 and 2. Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love. Because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. Verse 3, right here. For I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. It haunts me day and night. Listen to this. That David didn't repent until Nathan came to him, but it says his rebellion. He said, I recognize my sin. It haunts me day and night. There's some stuff in our lives sometimes that haunts you. At nighttime, nobody else know, but it haunts you day and night. But David said, listen, I recognize my rebellion. If you want to repent, it starts with you admitting that you've fallen. You got to admit it. Repentance starts with saying, agreeing with God. That's why the Bible in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we what? Confess our sins. He's faithful and he's just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us. Confession, the word confess means to agree with God. Y'all, I know everybody likes watching Law and Order. Law and Order been on TV for what, 40 years? It's been on, it's the longest running show I've ever seen. But I love watching Law and Order. In all of these shows, you have the law, and you've got the police and the attorneys. And it always comes to a point where somebody, when you got to make a confession. A confession means an agreement. I did it. Today, God is calling somebody to say, God, I admit I've fallen. I admit I'm not going to make any more excuses. I admit I did it. That's where it starts. David had to say, I recognize my rebellion, Lord. I'm not making any more excuses. I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. The first step is to agree with God that I've fallen. Psalm verse 5 said, I was born a sinner. Yes, from the moment my mother conceived me, I was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. You got to agree with God about your sin. Agree with God about your sin. That's number one. You got to admit that you've fallen. But the number two is you got to not just admit where you've fallen, but this is the kicker right here. You got to accept the responsibility. I love this with children. If you have children, because I always do this in my house. Something's broken, something's left out, something, whatever. And I was like, who did this? I ain't do it. I didn't do it. Or then if somebody says, well, I did it, but such and such, that's one of the things that gets on my nerves. When they confess with a but such and such, they always mention another sibling when they're confessing. My kids do that all the time. Don't put nobody else in your mess. Admit you did it and now accept the responsibility. It's the original sin. God came looking for Adam, and Adam told God, yeah, God, I did it, but this woman you gave to me. I admit my sin, but I don't want to take responsibility. Yes, I did it, but I'm not going to, if such and such hadn't done, David could have said, yeah, I did it, but she shouldn't have been on the rooftop. What was she doing out there naked? Lord, you know I can't home. I couldn't. What am I supposed to do about that? No. What God is telling you to do today is admit you've fallen and then accept responsibility. Stop playing the blame game. You can never get to true repentance if you're always blaming somebody for why you did what you did. And that's one of the most irritating things when somebody apologizes to you. Yeah, I am so sorry, but you know. Like, it just negates your apology. It negates your apology because you're saying, yeah, I did it, but there was a reason behind it. Nope. Look at what David says. He says in verse 4, against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. What you got to understand is not only admitting it, God, but stop making excuses. Some of us today have strongholds in your life. The reason why you haven't gotten free, because you still make, forgive me for that, but you're still making an excuse. Some of us making, you know what? Some of us are blaming our family for some of the mess that we're in. Yeah, my mother did this and my father did this. Yeah, and of course we are the product of our families, but it comes a point in time where I got to accept responsibility for my own actions. I got to, because if you don't, you're going to stay stuck and you'll always be having that excuse. God said, no, when he come, he ain't coming for mama and daddy. He's coming. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. True repentance. Repentance means change. If I'm going to have real change, I got to admit, I got to own it. I did it. And then I got to accept responsibility for it. God, it's against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. It's nobody else to blame. I should have been on the battlefield. Today, what are you passing the buck for? What is it in your life that you know God is not pleased with that you can say, God, I know you're not pleased with this, but I'm just that way because I got it from my mama? God said, that ain't going to work. You got to accept responsibility for your own actions. The Bible in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You say, Pastor, why do you have that scripture there? Because to accept responsibility requires a mind change. It requires a mind change. He said, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. To be transformed, if you're going to have real change, that's repentance. If you're going to have true change that lasts, you got to be transformed, and that transformation comes by the renewing of your mind. And how do I get my mind renewed? By his word. I got to get in his word. I got to see what God says about my stuff and say, God, it's against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. For all my married people in here, how many times have you husbands not done what you're supposed to do? And you said, but if my wife would have done X, Y, Z, that don't work. That don't work. I praise God for Brother Callie. Where's Brother Callie? Brother Callie always used to tell me, listen, marriage ain't about fair. This is before I was married. But the reason why, that's so good, because he said it ain't about tit for tat being fair. It's about just being right. It's not about what she did or what I did. It's about, all it is about what I did. Don't worry about what she did. You get, stop trying to get fair and just be obedient. Accept responsibility. Because you know what? Even if somebody had some role to play in it, I had a choice to make. Think about Adam. This woman you gave me. This woman you gave me. Well, God, Adam, yeah, I gave her to you, but I spoke to you directly, face to face. You putting the blame on her, but I told you what to do, face to face. And you could have made a choice. You still had a choice. I know it was circumstance. I know she's an influencer. I know she's beautiful and the fruit looked good. But you still had a choice to make. Obey me. Today, God is calling us to admit that you've blown it. Stop trying to push it under the rug. Just call it, God, I did it. And then once you say, God, I did it, not only did I do it, it ain't nobody else's fault but mine. That's the hard part to do right there. It's nobody else's fault but mine. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Admit I've fallen. Accept responsibility. And then the third thing you got to do is to adjust your direction. Adjust your direction. Let's look at verse 7 down to verse 12. Purify me from my sins, and I'll be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me, now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Don't banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me again the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. You must adjust. Now that you admit you've fallen, you've accepted responsibility, now, and you, it felt like, God, I'm sorry. Now God is calling you to adjust your direction. I refer to this a lot, the prodigal son, because all of us fall into that category where the prodigal son, he walked away from the father, he rebelled against the father, and he just blew all of the riches that the father had given him, and he got to the point where all of his friends left him, and he was sitting in a pig pen. A Jewish boy sitting in a pig pen, animals that are unclean. And as he's sitting there, the Bible says he came to himself and went back. He adjusted his direction. He went back to his father's house. Today, if true repentance is marked by me, not just admitting it, not just accepting responsibility, saying, God, I want to go in a different way. I'm going to change. It may not happen overnight, but God, I want to be different. Why? Because I agree with you about my sin. Today, God is called, true repentance is not marked by, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Anybody have somebody, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. They like this some magic words. I'm sorry. Don't say that no more. If you're going to keep doing the same thing, just don't say you're sorry. Don't say you're sorry. I know, as a married person, brothers, I have gotten in trouble. I'm sorry. My wife said, I don't want to hear that. Because you did this last week. I don't want to hear that. Just do something different. God is calling us to what? Adjust our direction. Well, how do I adjust my direction? It's right here in the passage. Listen, I love it. He said, listen, how do I adjust our direction? Number one, if you're going to adjust your direction, you must spend regular time alone with God. Spend regular time alone with God. Look at the verse. It says, don't banish me. Verse 11, don't banish me from your presence. Don't banish me from your presence. What you got to do, if you want to change direction, you got to immerse yourself in the presence of God. You got to be saturated. You got to be saturated with him. Spend more and more time with him. Why? Because we are Christians. We're little Christ. The more time you spend with the light, you begin to reflect him. You begin to reflect him. That's what God is calling us to do. But how many of us know about our children? Some of people say, my son, DJ, y'all pray for him. He's sick today. But look, he spends time with me. And guess what? It's eerie sometimes how much like me he is. It's eerie how much like me. He looks like his mama, but he acts just like me. Why? He's in my presence. Yes, he's got my genes, but he's in my presence all the time. The more time you spend in his presence, you begin to look like him. You begin to act like him. And we see it all the time. We see it is true with our young people. But the amount of time that they spend on TikTok, this fast thing, I'm telling you, it's revealing in my house. I'm like, y'all supposed to be fasting. Why is TikTok? Why are y'all on TikTok right now? What are we doing? The amount of time on TikTok, Instagram, all the social media platforms, they know every dance. They can do all of this. They can quote all of this. Y'all begin to sound like, if not just that, then the music that the kids listen to sometimes. It's like, hold on. Now what ends up happening, you begin to reflect. You begin to look like what you're looking at. You begin to look like who you spend time with. And he said, listen, don't banish me from your presence. I love it. David said, God, I know I messed up, but I need to spend more time with you. I'm here to tell you, listen, don't allow your sin to drive you from the presence of God. What David said, don't banish me from your presence. I love it because God won't. He said, look, I already knew. One thing I love about God, oh God, he's already forgotten what you can't forget. And today, somebody who's there wallowing in guilt, say, God, listen, I'm going to tell you what the trick of the devil is. When you sin and you mess up, you run away from God because you feel guilty. But God said, no, I want you to press into my presence. I want you to run closer to me when you mess up. No, you know why? Because I already knew you're going to mess up. You need to come closer to me because I'm the one that's going to give you deliverance. I'm the only one that's going to set you free.
True forgiveness is here. Grace and mercy is here. I love it because what does David do? He appeals to God to according to his character. He said, verse 1, have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion. He appeals to the character of God. Don't banish me from your presence. Today, if you've fallen, no matter what it is, don't stay away from church. Don't stay away from God. Don't stay away from the word. I've heard it said, anybody heard it say, look, I'm going to come to church, but I don't want to be a hypocrite. Y'all heard people say that. People have told me, I've heard people on my job say, look, man, I will come to church. I just don't want to be a hypocrite. God, the church, we all hypocrites. Church full of hypocrites. That's why we need to be here. I mean, so listen, if you will be in good company, don't stay out. You'll be in good company. When you come, you will not be alone. Amen. For all the hypocrites in the building, raise your hand. It said, look, don't run away from God. Run to God. When you mess up, run to the house of the Lord. What the devil wants to do, he wants to isolate you. He comes to steal, to kill. The devil has said he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may destroy. How many of you ever like watching Nat Geo TV? And whenever you watch these little gazelles or these little animals, these little antelopes, you know, they're sitting out there and they're grazing together, and that lion is out there or whatever it is, tiger is out there. All they're waiting is for one of them to get to by themselves. Because we can't get all of y'all, but if we can get that weak one that y'all leave behind, get you by yourself, that's dinner. That's what the devil is trying to do with you. Man, I messed up. Guess what? I'm going to pull away from the body of Christ. Come out of the presence. And the devil say, yep. Now what I'm going to do now, I'm going to pour the guilt on. And I'm going to make you keep feeling guilty. Keep feeling guilty. You know what that's like? Like the prodigal son, that would be if he kept staying in the pig pen. And you don't change. Matter of fact, you get worse. It pushes you back into your sin. Spend regular time with God. If you want to get back right, change direction, spend time with God. Second, be filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, don't banish me from your presence. And what? Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Once you drop the ball, say, God, I've blown it. Lord, forgive me. Fill me with the power of your Spirit. How many know when you accept Christ, you receive his Spirit, but the question is, how much of you does the Spirit control? Being filled with the Spirit doesn't mean you get more Holy Ghost. It means the Holy Ghost gets more of you. And so what you need to do on a daily basis, if I fall and say, God, I give you control. Fill me with the Holy Ghost, God. Yes, it's in me. Now, God, I want the Spirit of God to control me. Sometimes I ask God from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet, Lord, fill me. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Listen, salvation is a moment in time, but being filled with the Spirit is something that can happen moment by moment, daily, asking God to give me the filling of the Holy Ghost so that I might accomplish your will and your way for me. Give me the filling of the Holy Ghost so that I might accomplish what you've called me to do, so that I might walk in obedience. Why? Because you can't do it on your own strength anyway. The Bible said it is he who works in me both the will, that's the desire, and the do, that is the ability to carry out his good pleasure. I can't do right without him giving me the enabling to do right. So ask him to fill me, be filled, spend time with God, be filled with the Spirit of God, and then ask God to give you a sense of his joy. He says right here, restore to me, verse 12, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Because you know what? Sin will sap your joy. Sin will sap your joy. David said, listen, man, I was aching at nighttime. I knew, because why? You know you're not right. You know you're not right. It affect your praise. I can't even praise. Because why? I got sin. I know I can't even lift my hand like I should because I know I got stuff that I ain't dealt with. He said, Lord, ask God, listen, restore to me a sense of joy. And even after you've confessed it and agreed with God and accepted responsibility, because the devil is busy, he wants to keep you stuck. He's going to keep pouring that guilt on you. And you say, God, restore to me the joy of your salvation. I love that. Restore to me the joy of what? Your salvation. Joy is wrapped up in not what's happening. It's wrapped up into a person. Jesus. Restore to me the joy of what? Your salvation. Once I've experienced salvation and the forgiveness of sins, even when life is not working to my advantage, even when things are less than ideal, I can still have joy. Because he says, in your presence, there's fullness of joy. Ask God to restore the joy. And I love it because when you ask according to his will, he says he hears you. And then not only does he hear you, he says, and then you also have what you asked for. Today, if you're asking for God to restore joy, he's duty-bound to give it to you. Why? Because it's his will for you to have it. Isn't that exciting to know? Today, if you're walking in guilt, you're not feeling the joy of the Lord, guess what? That's a trick of the devil. Joy is yours. Last week, Sister Darian led us in a song. It's like, reach up and grab it. You're going to have to remind yourself, look, it's yours. Reach up and go get it. God, give me the joy that you said is mine. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Ask him to restore the joy, give you a sense of joy. And then the next thing, ask God for the power to be consistent. Look at the verse 12. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and what? And make me willing to obey you. I love that prayer. I love it. This is one of my favorite verses. Brother David Nutt put this in our small group, chat group this week. And when he put it, I had been quoting this scripture during the week. And then I saw David put it in. I said, boy, that just witnessed with my spirit. He said, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Make me willing to obey you. Because sometimes, God, I don't want to do what's right. Anybody else a witness? I know what's right. I look at what's right, but I don't feel like doing what's right. I don't feel like loving my wife as Christ loved the church. I know I'm supposed to, but I just don't want to do it. I don't feel like being faithful. I don't feel like being consistent. I don't feel, he said, make me willing. Ask God, Lord, give me the power. Give me staying power. Give me the ability to be consistent, because I said it's he who works in me the will and the do of his good pleasure. Every day, sometimes, look, we get saved by faith, by grace. We get saved by grace through faith. But then we begin to walk in our own strength. You can't do this in your own power. And so often as Christians, we're so rules-based and so check the box. I can do this, I do this, I do this. And so therefore, I'm a good Christian. God said, no, you can't even do right without me. And when you do right without me, it ain't even right. That sometimes we can do right, but our motives are wrong. God said, that still ain't right. He said, I don't even want that. Because look, if you go look down in the verse, what does he say? Look at verse 15. He says, unseal my lips, O Lord, that my mouth may praise you. You don't desire a sacrifice or I would offer one. You don't want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart. Verse 17. God said, you're trying to give sacrifices. You're trying to do all this. God said, no, I just want you to be broken before me and really contrite and let me do the work. Today, if we're going to experience what God wants us to experience in this time of prayer and fasting, it's going to require some genuine, true repentance. Get back. We got to get back right. Lecrae has a song called Get Back Right. Some of us, we're going to have to get back right. In order for us to get back right, number one, you got to admit that you messed up. It's okay, because we all do. But not only do you have to admit you messed up, don't. Nobody else is to blame for you messing up. Admit you messed up and say, look, I accept the responsibility. God, it's against you and you only have I sinned. And then once you've done that, now God is calling you to adjust your direction. Go in a different way. And in order for me to do that, I can't keep doing what I've been doing. I'm going to have to spend regular time with God. I got to rely on the Spirit of God. I got to ask him to fill me with his Spirit. Give me a, restore to me the joy of your salvation. God, restore to me a sense of joy. The sin has sapped my joy. God, restore to me a sense of joy, Father God. And Lord, give me a willing heart. Give me the ability to be consistent. And then finally, that God is calling you to do is now look for a chance to help somebody else. Look for a chance to help somebody. Look at verse 13. It said, then I'll teach your ways to rebels, and they will return to you. How many have ever experienced the grace and mercy and forgiveness of God? And having been a recipient of it, now you're going to say, listen, I was in a position where you were one time, and let me tell you how God can set you free. Let me tell you how God can set you free. Now God is calling us. Once you've experienced his love and forgiveness, now he says, then I'll teach transgressors your way. Because God, I've been a recipient of it. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I've been a recipient of it. Now, God, I can go out and tell somebody else that, yes, I was a sinner. I'm a sinner. I blew it. I dropped the ball. But he still loved me, and he still had a plan for me and desired to use me, and he can do the same thing for you. What God will do, that's a part of changing your direction. Because now what was once a mark is now unable for you to give you a testimony, give you a platform, because it's all for what? His glory and not our own. Today, as we look for God to do great things in our life, it's going to require for us to do some self-examination. What do I need to repent of? I pray that if there's no Nathan in your life, I pray that you get some people in your life who can serve as Nathans in your life. People that can say, listen, David, you are the man. The people who will speak to you and that you keep you accountable, and that having done that, that you will say, yep, Lord, it's me. I confess. Nobody else is to blame. It's me, and I need you to change me. I want your will over my own. Goes back to what Pastor Paige talked about last week. Listen, adjusting the script. God, not for me, not to us, Lord, but to you be all glory. As we look for God to do great things, again, we said in prayer and fasting, we're praying for God to give us a sense of his joy as a congregation. We want God to fill the house. We want God to do some amazing thing. We want to see supernatural provision. We want us to be unified as one body. We want to see God do amazing things in this house. But in order for God to do amazing things in this house individually, we got to get some stuff right in our own lives. Present party included. Amen. And I encourage us today to take the act to get back right. True repentance. Admit you've blown it. Accept responsibility and adjust your direction. And when you do that, then God will use you to teach transgressors your way, and sinners will be drawn to him. Amen? Can we all stand together? Amen. Before we pray, David is an amazing example. When you look at all that he went through and God still desired to use him, there's somebody this morning who's wallowing in guilt. You might be here, you might be at home, you done messed up, and you've been feeling bad about what you've done, and it's causing you to walk away from God, you've been stepping away from God. God's here today, listen, he wants you to get it right today. And I'm so glad about God. I say it all the time. How can you disappoint a God who already knew you were going to mess up before you messed up? His grace and his mercy is available to you today. God's trying to get you back in right alignment today. David got in trouble because he wasn't in right alignment. He wasn't where he was supposed to be at the time he was supposed to be there. And today, first person, you might be somebody today. David got in trouble because he wasn't in right alignment. He fell into sin because he was supposed to be at war, but he was at home. He wasn't in alignment for God's purpose and plan for his life. When you're out of alignment with God's will for your life and his calling on your life, it puts you at risk. David was king, and it said it was when kings go to war. King was at home. He wasn't where he was supposed to be. Today, I don't know who I'm talking to, but you're at risk because you ain't where you're supposed to be. You're out of line with God's call for your life. And the very first call for all of us is to be in relationship with Him. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior and Lord, you're out of alignment. You're out of alignment. And today, what God wants to do is get you in alignment. And the way to get in alignment is to admit to God that you ain't perfect. All of us are. The Bible calls it sin. And sin has separated us from God. And God wants to restore the relationship with you that He designed for you to be in from the very beginning. And in order for Him to do that, you must say, God, I'm a sinner. I believe You sent Your Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross to pay for my sins. I believe He was buried and He rose again to justify me, meaning to make me right with You. And I receive Him to be my Savior and Lord, to be my substitute, to take my sin and give me His righteousness. If you've never made that decision to make that exchange, you're out of alignment. Today, I want to help someone get in alignment this morning. If you want to accept Christ as Savior and Lord of your life for the very first time, say, God, I'm going to stop trying to run my own life and I want to give my life over to You. I'm going to pray a prayer of invitation. And if this expresses the desire of your heart, I encourage you to say yes to Him today. I'll pray this prayer, every head bowed, every eye closed. And if you're at home, you can pray this as well. If you're here, pray it to yourself, to the Lord. Just say this to God. Dear God, thank You for loving me just like I am. I admit that I'm out of alignment with You. I admit that I am a sinner. And I believe that You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for me. I believe that He was buried and rose again to make me right with You. And today, I invite Jesus Christ into my heart and life to forgive me of all of my sin and make me who You want me to be. Thank You, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you could keep your head bowed and eye closed, please. If you could keep your head bowed and eyes closed, please. If that prayer that I just prayed expressed the desire of your heart, you say, Pastor Dwayne, I prayed that because I want to be in alignment with Him. If you're here today, I want you to raise your hand. And you prayed that prayer and that expressed the desire of your heart. Could you just put your hand up really quick? We want to pray with you. If you're here, you prayed that prayer. You said, listen, I see that hand. Thank You, Lord. If you prayed that prayer and you're in the building today, raise your hand up quickly so I can see it and put it back down. Thank You, Lord. I see that hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? Thank You, Lord. Anyone else? Just You and the Lord. Just You and the Lord. Anyone else? Bless the Lord. Let me say this for those of you who raised your hand. You can keep your head bowed, eye closed. Congratulations on making the best decision that you could have ever made in your life, to accept Jesus as Savior and Lord of your life, to get your life in alignment with Him. And I'm so glad that there ain't one sin that you could commit to make Him stop loving you. That He loves you unconditionally. He's got a plan for your life, and we want to help you grow in that plan. So for those of you who raised your hand, I know who you are. I saw you. I'm going to have someone talk with you today. I want to have someone talk with you today. Matter of fact, I want you to do something boldly. Could you do this? Could you come right here for me? Just come right. Let me pray with you right quick. If you raise your hand, I want you to come boldly to the altar really quick. Just really quickly. Come boldly to the altar. Let me pray with you. Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Bless the Lord. Amen. I want to just pray with you. Can I pray with the both of you? Dear God, Heavenly Father, I thank You. I thank You, Lord, for these who say yes to Your will and Your way. Transform their lives that they'll never be the same again. We praise You. We honor You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to go. Pastor Mike.
Yes, God.
Go. Hallelujah. Follow Pastor Mike right there. Amen. 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 If you pray that prayer and you're at home, you pray that prayer, you at home, I want you, we need to know that as well. You need somebody to speak into your life. That link is on the screen. You can go right there. Encounterchurch.net/next. Encounterchurch.net/next. You can go there. And then let us know. Yes, Pastor, I prayed that prayer. I received Christ today. I want to know what I need to do next. You can also go to that text link. You can text the word next to 301-804-2520 as well. Amen? Amen. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I thank you for those who made the decision to come to you today to get in right alignment. And God, but for those of us, Lord God, who made that decision, there's some of us today who got some stuff in our life. We need to say, God, you're right. I admit I've blown it. And I'm ready to take responsibility and go in the right direction. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll bring the right folks in their lives, Nathan's in their lives, Lord God, to kind of encourage them in the right way. We praise you. We thank you. Before I close this out, if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm already accepted Christ, but I done got convicted. I got some stuff I need to get right. I want you to pray with me. Could you pray with me and for me? And you're in need of prayer, some stuff. You say, Pastor, I have some stuff I got to repent of. I'm ready to turn in the right direction. If you're here and say, I'm ready to turn in the right direction, you just need some prayer, pop up your hand. Let me pray for you right where you are. If you're here and say, listen, I need some prayer. I see that hand. Somebody else said, I need some prayer. There's some areas I know I need to repent of. I see that hand. Anybody else? I need to repent, Father. I'm ready to go in the right direction. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Dear God, Heavenly Father, for those who are in the house and those who are at home, thank you, Lord God, for your mercy and your grace. Lord God, that you're long-suffering with us. When we drop it, Lord God, that we can get back up again. I pray that they will feel your embrace, not wallow in guilt, that you'll give them a sense of your joy. And as they turn to go in the right direction, God, that they will feel that we walked in the filling of the Holy Ghost so that they can be consistent. Surround them with people to encourage them in the right way. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.